January 2015, Dylan had an end of treatment MRI scan, which showed that there was areas of concern in his brain where the tumour had originally resected from, and that the spots of tumour in his spine hadn't shrunk with the chemo, but they hadn't grown either. So they thought, right, we'll watch that and we'll scan him again. I think he was due to be scanned February 2015. February 2015 was also my youngest's first birthday, and we had gone away to Devon for the half term, and Dylan wasn't well, and I just knew. Don't ask me how I knew. I knew. I knew it was back. We came back, and the following Wednesday, I think it was, Dylan had his scan, and we were recovering on the ward a little bit later, and Dylan was playing in the play area, and I saw his oncologist come onto the ward. This isn't a ward where oncologists visit. We were the only oncology family on that ward. As soon as I saw him approach the nurses station to find out where we were, I knew. He asked me and my ex-husband to step out. I was going to say, no, whatever it is, you can say here. Again, thinking that he couldn't tell me bad news in the play area, but of course I'd already had bad news in the play area. So I just went, and we were led into this room, you know, one of those horrible, horrible windowless rooms that you only get in hospitals, with a packet of tissues in the middle of the table and a nurse that follows in behind you. He said he'd never seen anything like it. Not only was Dylan's cancer back, but it was all over his brain, and it covered pretty much every centimetre of his spine. It had just come from nowhere. I knew I was right. It was the one time in my life I've never wanted to be right. We were told there and then that chemotherapy only had failed, and that it was no longer an option, and that we had to really accept the fact that Dylan was going to have radiotherapy, and a lot of radiotherapy. So after an awful lot of soul searching, you know, we were faced with the option: take him home, make him comfortable, and let him die, or treat him, but treat aggressively. But I took my strength from Dylan. Dylan wanted to live. He was finding it much more difficult to move around, and he was, you know, slowly becoming more and more paralysed. But he was still enjoying his time with his brothers. He was still playing. He was still very much part of the family. And I thought, he's not ready. Let's just, we'll treat and we'll deal with the consequences. The day before his radiotherapy was due to start was Mothering Sunday. And it was also my ex-husband's birthday. And I took the kids to Dylan's favourite soft play. That was what he wanted to do. So I took them to soft play. And it really, really hit home to me how much more Dylan was finding it difficult to move, because I had to carry him. I had to carry him around the whole of the soft play, crawling on my hands and knees with him on my back, because he physically couldn't do it. He couldn't lift his neck up to look around, but he was smiling and he loved it. The next morning, my ex-husband had set the alarm to go and get him, to take him to radiotherapy. And I pretended I was asleep because I didn't want to go into that room, because I wasn't convinced he was going to be alive. The doctors also felt it was touch and go. They didn't really plan his radiotherapy in advance like they do with everybody else. They sort of planned it a couple of days in advance. But at the end of the 6 weeks, you know, Dylan was twice the size he was because of the steroids. But he skipped out of that hospital. And it was just amazing. I knew then that we'd made the right decision, and that whatever the consequences, we would deal with them as and when they came about, because, you know, he was happy and smiling and posing for photos with his radiotherapy mask and skipping.